Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Who's ready for God to do something in the house of God today? Matthew chapter 15, we're going to go into the Word of God today. Matthew chapter 15, reading from verse 29. It says, Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up on a mountainside and sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, and the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they praised the God of Israel. How many of you realize today that the miraculous always points to the evidence of God? Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry or they may collapse on the way. His disciples answered, where could we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. Seven, they replied, and a few small fish. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. Verse 36, then he took the seven loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and they in turn to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up seven basketfuls of broken pieces that were left. The number of those who ate was 4,000 men, besides women and children. Today, I want to speak to you on the thought, a miracle in the making. A miracle in the making. I want to take you here to Matthew chapter 15 and what many scholars consider as the lesser account of feeding the masses. There is another account of Jesus and the disciples, and they're feeding 5,000 men plus women plus children, but they're two separate accounts. I actually disagree that this is actually a lesser account, because how many of you know that when Jesus repeats a miracle, he's saying something twice, and often there's more power the second time around. And here Jesus gathers his disciples after a big day of ministry. The crowds had followed him, and the blind were seeing, the lame were walking, the maimed were made whole, so on and so forth. But Jesus, in this little window of time, after ministering and everybody getting healed, was moved with compassion for a new need. It was now hunger. How many of you know that Jesus gave you a breakthrough or the miraculous yesterday for yesterday's need, but he's got more of the miraculous for you today for today's need? He's not a once. How many of you are so glad he's not a once-off Jesus? That, okay, I blessed you last season and I'm not coming back for you again. How many of you know that Jesus is just as in tune with your need today as he was last season or last year or last decade when you needed him to come through for you? I just love the fact that Jesus was so moved with compassion. After healing the sick and after seeing great breakthrough, we don't have a Jesus that has compassion fatigue. Come on, are you out there? We don't have a Jesus that has need fatigue. I don't know why you've come to church this morning, but if you've come today and in this season, you need him more than ever before, I can tell you now, Jesus is going to meet you right where you're at. And so it says here that Jesus was so moved with compassion with this new challenge. There's this new need amongst the crowd. I want to submit to you today that your challenges right now in this moment are actually a miracle in the making. Your challenges right now, whatever it is that you're going through right now, if you need Jesus in any particular sphere of your life, your challenge right now that is unique to you is actually a miracle in the making. Jesus turns to the disciples and says, don't send them away. I'm moved with great compassion. And then he prophesies something to them that is so crazy. He says to his disciples, see those 4,000 men plus women plus children that haven't eaten for 3 days? You're going to feed them. He says to them, he prophesies into what they're about to do. He speaks something to them over their life. He projects the breakthrough onto his disciples. He says, these 4,000 people, this crowd, I know you want to send them away, but I'm prophesying to you that you're actually going to feed them. I want to submit to you today that God will never speak to you about what is possible in the natural. He'll only ever speak to you about what is impossible. Why would he need to tell you to go brush your teeth? Because you can do that without him. Come on, how many of you agree that Jesus will only ever speak to you something that is not possible by human endeavor? That by very nature is the definition of a miracle. This is a legit thing that Jesus was telling his disciples to do. 4,000 men plus women plus children who haven't eaten for 3 days. You can see the cogs turning and the disciples said, these people are going to kill us. How many of you have ever been hangry? That's angry while you're hungry. I don't know about you, but we've tried to feed hundreds of volunteers at a volunteers party, and they attack those Bain Maries like seagulls on a hot chip. That's after not eating for like 4 or 5 hours. You can imagine trying to feed thousands of people who haven't eaten for 3 days, and yet Jesus says to them, you feed them. Maybe he's told you something that seems so absolutely outrageous. Maybe he's told you that chronic illness that you're carrying right now, maybe he spoke to you at conference that you're actually going to be healed from it. Maybe he's spoken to you that marriage that seems so in such disrepair that God's actually going to bring a breakthrough. Maybe, I don't know if you know that Jesus says some outrageous things. He says things that go beyond or defy our human logic. It defies anything that is possible by human endeavor. That's what I love about the Jesus that we serve. That he doesn't tell us what's obvious. He doesn't tell us what's reasonable. But through him, he actually helps us to step out of the realm of possibilities and into the realm of impossibilities. But the disciples answered something that we all would have said. They said this, where could we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd? In other words, Jesus, Uber Eats doesn't deliver here. Deliveroo doesn't come here. Hong Kong cuisine does not deliver here. It's just too far. We're out the back end of Galilee. No one comes here. Even Domino's Pizza doesn't deliver here. You know you're out in the sticks when Domino's Pizza doesn't go there. Where are we going to get enough bread to feed everybody? Sometimes what Jesus says about where we're going to be, where he's going to take us, what he's going to do in our lives, versus the reality we see in the now, is a gap that's so big that it can seem overwhelming. Sometimes when God speaks to us, it could seem like a burden too big to carry. I don't know if you can use me like that, God. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe last week at conference, God's spoken in your heart that you want to step into this space or step up into that, or God's going to do that. It can feel at times that when the Lord speaks about who you're going to be or what he's going to do in your life versus this week, some of you came back into the grind of reality. It can feel like a gap too big. It can feel burdensome. But I want to submit to you today that your burden and your sense of overwhelmness is often a miracle in the making. It's in that massive gap that you can't bridge that is often a miracle in the making. Can I go a little bit deeper with you? To which the disciples asked, as I read before, where could we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd? To which Jesus asked, how many of you love it when Jesus answers a question with a question? He says, how many loaves do you have? 7, they replied, and a few small fish. Can I submit to you today that when Jesus asks you a question, he's not always looking for information. Don't you tell me that the Jesus who knew who was going to betray him and who knew who was going to deny him didn't know how many loaves and fish they had in their back pocket. Come on. What Jesus wanted them to confront was the fact that in their own human realm, they didn't have much. So he says to them, how much bread have you got? How many loaves do you have? To which they replied, we got 7. And Judas has some undersized fish as well. I don't know why I pick on Judas, because he seems like the kind of guy that would keep undersized fish. To which Jesus stretches out his hand and says, give it up, boys. Sometimes your miracle in the making requires you to give up something. It requires you to surrender. If you think about 3 days not eating, 12 guys, 7 buns, and some undersized fish, it's barely enough to feed the 12 disciples. When there's lack, even the little that you have starts to become a little bit precious. Starts to become a little bit valuable to you. Even when you need a miracle, the little that you've got starts to become something you want to keep. Maybe God is holding his hand out to you and saying, you know that thing that you're withholding? It's a miracle in the making, but unless you take it out of your hands and into mine, it won't be a miracle in the making. What's your 7 loaves and undersized fish? Is it that situation you try and control that you keep saying, God, I've got it in my back satchel? And Jesus is saying, would you give it to me? Is it that marriage that you seem to want to control the proceedings, that spouse you try and nag, those kids that you helicopter over, and that situation in your finances or your business? What is your 7 loaves? What are your 7 loaves and 2 fish? Only it's a different thing to different people. But I'm prophesying today that maybe Jesus is standing in front of you just saying, would you put it in my hand? It's not going to be a miracle in the making unless you take it out of your hands and put it into my hands. What little bit of time that you think you, or availability that you think you have, that you're trying to hold on to, and Jesus is speaking you to step up and step into something. You're saying, God, I don't know if I can give this. This time is precious for me. Those 3 nights a week that I've got at home, they're precious to me. Maybe Jesus is saying, would you take it out of your hand and put it into mine? And I will do something way beyond what you can ask, think, or imagine. What is it about your little talents or your giftings or the things that you think are insignificant, but they are precious to you, and you're holding it in your back satchel? Maybe Jesus is holding out his hand to you, saying, would you take it out of your hand and into mine? Your miracle is in the making when you surrender what you have out of your hand and into his. I look back in my own life, and there have been many seasons where I think I've aborted my miracle in the making because I've been reluctant to hand over what little I had in my hand and to entrust it in the miracle working God. Maybe you're saying today, nobody knows my kids like I do. I don't know if I can surrender them into your hand, Jesus. Jesus, you don't know. You don't know what it costs me to get those degrees, to get my career up and running, and now you want me to hand it into your hands. Jesus, you don't know what it costs me to get the kind of financial stability that I've got right now, but you want me to hand it into your hands. God, you don't know how long I've waited to be in this relationship, and now I need a breakthrough, but you're asking me to trust you with this. I don't know what your loaves and fish are today, but it's time for us to get back into the miracle in the making, to say, whatever it is that I've got in my back pocket, Jesus, I'm handing it to you, because I've got a miracle in the making. Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise? Jesus takes the loaves and the fish. And it says here in Matthew 15, verse 36, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, he gave thanks, he broke them, and he gave them to his disciples. He took them, whatever it is that they had, he blessed it, gave thanks, and he broke it. Your miracle in the making always requires a breaking. Your miracle in the making always requires a breaking. You know that whatever you hand into the hands of Jesus is not going to come back to you looking the same, because God is going to deal with that thing. Come on, are you out there? Whatever it is, maybe you're holding some things in your heart today. You need to hand into the hands of Jesus, and Jesus is going to break it. It's not going to look like the nice little neat little package that you handed it to. Come on, are you out there? But this is what I love, that Jesus actually hands the broken pieces back to the disciples. He takes it, blesses it, breaks it, and hands it back to the disciples. This is what you need to understand with your miracle in the making, is that he always invites us to participate in the miracle in the making. Because Jesus is far more interested in doing something through you than he is doing something for you. Far more interested in doing something through you than to do something for you. If you think about it, the feeding of the 5,000 in the previous account and this feeding of the 4,000 in this account did not happen in the hands of Jesus. It happened in the hands of the disciples. You can imagine the disciples as they're taking their fragment of bread and fish, now broken up into small little pieces, as they're walking through the crowd and handing it out. They're actually feeling the sensation of, pow! It's multiplying in our hands. You can imagine Andrew turning to Matthew, the tax collector, saying, Matthew, can you believe it? Is it reproducing in your hands? Yeah, bro, it's reproducing in my hand. I hope there's GST on this, because, you know, I'm a tax collector. And Matthew's turning to Tom and saying, Tom, can you believe it? It's butter, is it multiplying in your hand? Oh, I doubt it. Let me give it a few more goes before I really believe. And they're looking at Peter. He's on that far side over here. He's starting a food fight because he's a little bit extra that way. And it's happening in their hands. I love that we've got a Jesus, while he's cooking up a miracle in the making, is actually inviting you to participate in the process. You're part of the miracle in the making. I want to be part of a church that stops asking Jesus to do things for us, but we're saying, Jesus, would you do things through us? If we're truly going to be, as the Prime Minister prayed, the answer to transformation in our nation, maybe we need to have the heart to say, Jesus, would you let it multiply in our hands? Because we are your church. Multiply it out of their hands. Bread, fish. I want to participate in the miraculous of God. I don't want to be a sideline spectator. I want to be a participator. This next move of God that he's doing, as we heard, God is doing something incredible across our nation. But I want to be part of an army that can be counted among those that say, Jesus, would you just use us? We're just making it available. It might require a surrender into your hands. It might require a receiving back of what looks like you've done a breaking. But Jesus, I want to participate. I want to be part of the answer to this marriage problem that I've got. I want to be part of the answer to the parenting issue that I've got. I want to be part of the answer to society's needs around me. Come on, do I have a church that... Yeah. You are part of the miracle in the making. Can I go a little bit deeper with you? I love how the story doesn't just finish, as it says in the NIV, with the crowd eating until they were completely satisfied. Because that would just be a meal, wouldn't it? Miraculous, but it would just be a meal. I love that in both accounts of the feeding of the 5,000 and here with the feeding of the 4,000, there were leftovers. How many of you are so glad that Jesus isn't the savior of the just enough, but he's the savior of the infinitely more? Jesus doesn't just give you just enough. He's not the God of the get by. But he's the God of the infinitely more. I have a gut feeling that if the crowd was 10,000, or if the crowd was 15,000, or if the crowd was 25,000, or 100,000, or even 150,000, Jesus would have fed them all. I believe that that miracle would have been plenty for everybody. You got to understand that Jesus didn't run out of bread and fish. The crowd ran out of appetite. Come on. The disciples didn't run out of food. The crowd ran out of eating capacity. They were full. I don't know about you, but in Luke chapter 5, when Jesus said to Peter, cast your net on the other side of the boat, Jesus didn't run out of fish. Peter just ran out of net space. In 2 Kings chapter 4, when the widow trusted God to provide oil for her, God didn't run out of oil. She ran out of jars. In fact, the whole community ran out of jars. Oh, it's time for the church to stand in a place again where we believe for so much more for our city. Not just, oh God, would you just come and do just enough in our community? Do just enough so we can get by. Do just enough so people can survive. I'm speaking abundance and prosperity and favor over families, over cities, over nations. Come on, do I have a church that believes with me? That he's a God of more than enough. There's a miracle in the making, but it requires a people that believe there is a God of the infinitely more. For those of you that don't know our journey as a family, we have two sons. We have Jensen, who's turning 15 in a month. That's my big boy in the front row here. In a week. Wow. Yes, next week is August. Thank you for correcting me, son. You are one of the all-time legends of my life. My big son, he's all kinds of awesome. And we also have Isaiah, who is 12 years old, who is turning 13 in September. And he's all kinds of wonderful too. But Isaiah's different. And when Isaiah was a baby, for those of you who don't know our story, we noticed that he wasn't meeting some of those developmental milestones in his life. And eventually, as the years rolled on, more and more of those milestones were not being reached, not being met. And when he was about 6 years old, we got a call from what was PMH back then, which was the Children's Hospital, from their pediatrics, their genetics department that had Isaiah on file to say that, you know, we've got some funding to test your son, test his genetics and test him for some genetic abnormalities. And sure enough, the diagnosis came that Isaiah was diagnosed with a rare genetic syndrome called Mowat-Wilson syndrome. It's very rare, to which I think he's only one of a few hundred in the world that have it. And as soon as Isaiah got that diagnosis, it was like I unknowingly allowed this diagnosis to prophesy into Isaiah's future. I allowed it to predetermine his future prospects. It was literally my moment of the crowd's too big. There's too much need. It seems an impossibility. It was scientifically verified, but I let this label for many years define my belief of what Isaiah's life would look like. If you Google Mowat-Wilson syndrome, this is what it says on Wikipedia. It says this: it's an autosomal dominant disorder characterized by a number of health defects, including Hirschsprung's disease, intellectual disability, epilepsy, delayed growth and motor development, congenital heart disease, genitourinary anomalies, and absence of the corpus callosum, which is the middle part of the brain. And it says this: there is no cure for this syndrome. And for many years, I allowed words like these to prophesy over my son. And there were times when the gap... See, across the years, many people would come up to us and say, PK, I'm really believing that God is going to use Isaiah's story as a testimony. I genuinely believe that Isaiah's going to get his breakthrough. We're believing that Isaiah's going to be healed. I see your son speaking. And there were many, many moments across those years when I just felt like saying, would you just stop, stop? Because the gap between what God was speaking over our son and the reality we saw was just too big. But little did I know that it was in that space of that gap that a miracle was in the making. And over the years, as we're pastors of this church, and we would drop our son off and have had to trust him to the hands of other people and trust him to kids' church leaders and trust him that he would just find his way. He has little or no speech, so he really can't tell us about his day. He can't tell us about his experiences. We'd have to trust every day that when we dropped him off at special needs school and things like that, that somehow God would keep him safe, and we would continuously have to surrender and hand him over. I knew what the diagnosis said, and I knew what the prospects were in the natural. And over the years, I would lower and lower my expectations because I didn't want to allow myself to be disappointed. And there was a part of me that would often think, oh, if our son could just survive and have a happy life, we should count ourselves lucky. But little did I know that it was a miracle in the making. There were many days where I would just resign myself that if we just keep Isaiah happy and as healthy as we can, he may never serve Jesus. In fact, I had never imagined in my wildest dreams that Isaiah could ever have an opportunity or the privilege of experiencing what it's like to serve God with his life. But we had conference last weekend. And on Monday after conference, we didn't know any of this because he can't tell us. We got sent a video from one of our kids' pastors of Isaiah playing the drums on the kids' worship team for one of the kids' stream sessions. It was like, what the? What? You should check this out. You should just watch this. It looks like a couple of cute videos, but that is a miracle in the making. For those of you that don't know our story, this is freaky. Because this is a kid that can't even dress himself. He can't toilet himself. He has no words to tell us. But here he is. He's playing in a... Can you believe... What? I believe in miracles. And what used to be his label... What used to be his label? Put that next slide up. What used to be his label? That next slide. I no longer believe it. I no longer believe that lie. But I believe this now. That he is the God of the Ephesians 3:20. That now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly more than all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Someone needs to holler out a praise to Jesus. Come on, stand to your feet right across this room.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.